Praise God. Amen. All right. Day 11 this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn this morning into the book of Exodus, the 25th chapter. Into the book of Exodus, the 25th chapter. And we're continuing on a message we started. And if you haven't got the other messages, some of you may not have them all. They'll be back here. We're ministering on the New Testament Feast of Tabernacles. And this will be the sixth part here. And of course, the thing on the tabernacles, when the Lord began to deal with us on it, lets us see our individuality in God and our individual place. And no one else can take our place. It's ours. See? Amen. I was talking to an elderly sister, you know, the other day, and she says about the booth, you know, we got our individual place. She said, Brother Ben, I got my place in the Lord, and nobody else can take my place, and I want to be the best me I can be, you know. Amen. So that's real good. Be the best me I can be. Amen. That's a good attitude for all of us, isn't it? Be the best me, because nobody else can be me, so it's left up to me. So I got to be the best me I can be. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God made us individuals in Him, don't you? Amen. Now here we've been speaking of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the tabernacle is an ingathering, as Brother Hammond brought in last night. Amen. It's also a feast. And it's after harvest, see. After the harvest has been gathered in, the wine, corn and wine has been harvested in, then they have a feast for 7 days there, and then on the eighth day they have a holy convocation. And we went through that, and Jesus in the book of Hebrews through St. Paul explained what it was all about, that He is that true tabernacle. Yeah. Amen. How many knows it? And He also, in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, made known unto us, He says, talking about the high priest who could go in the Holy of Holies, He said, such a high priest becometh you, becometh us. And then you go on over, He says, we have boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by a new and living way.
Amen.
So we got to do, Christ did it then, but now in the Old Testament, only the high priest, amen, but by one spirit we're baptized into one body, we're part of Him. And when He went in to the holiest of holies, we went in with Him, didn't we?
Yeah.
Amen, being a member of the body of Christ. Now here God began to talk about building the tabernacle. He said, see that all things be done after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. And that would be verse 9 where He's telling them, do everything just like it's been shown you, you know. And let me just begin verse 1. Yeah, I think we got the time. It says, and this is Exodus 25, and the Lord spake unto Moses, I'm glad He can talk, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, and I will meet thee. Now verse 22 is one of the things I want to read you. And there I will meet with thee. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
He meets with us in Christ, doesn't He? Where Christ at? He said, there I will meet with thee and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now, first of all, I want you to notice here, the first thing He made was the ark of the covenant. This has to start with Jesus. How many knows that? When He began to tell Moses what He wanted done, first of all, make the ark. You can't have anything without having Jesus first. Amen. A lot of people want to make a denomination, try to get Jesus to come. He ain't going to come. How many knows it? Amen. So the first thing was made was the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the Word was kept. See, that was the Word. And the lid of the mercy seat was, the lid of the Ark was the mercy seat. And that's where the blood was put. And that typifies, the high priest went once a year in there and he offered the blood to God and he put blood on the mercy seat. Now that put God above, see, amen, and then the laws underneath, and that blood was for you. There has to be blood between you and the broken laws or you're in trouble. Amen. Remember one time the Philistines, they got it, and they said, what in the world is this funny looking box? And Psalm says Israel carried their God in that box. So they opened the box, opened the lid, and 23,000 died before they could get it closed back. You know why? It put the people in direct line with God with no blood on the mercy seat. Amen. It brought their sins in view. And the sins, if you sin, amen, then there has to be that blood there to protect you. How many knows it? I remember one time the prophet of God, seemed like he said he was in Ohio having a meeting, and Brother William Brannan, and he went to this little place to get some something for dinner, a sandwich or something, called right by the hotel he was staying, just went down a little place. And there was stuff going on in there, dancing and music and stuff. So he went in there and he walked in there, come a woman, staggered up to him just about drunk, you know, and started some things. And he just got back. He said, Lord, why don't you just send fire down? Why don't you just destroy these sinful people, you know, like that? And began to say that. And all of a sudden he went into a vision. He saw the earth turning. But he saw a ring of blood around it. Amen. He said, that's why I shed my... Their sins. He said, your sins, as they leave, they hit that blood and they just go away. Amen. Ain't you glad that when you repent, your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Praise God. Amen. So in Christ, when God started His plan, He started with Christ. He's the first begotten. Amen. Anything we do, it has to start with Christ. If you start a home, it's got to start with Christ. You start a church, it's got to start with Christ. Amen. Now here's this box. It was the very first thing. Now the next thing... He made the candlesticks, his table and shewbread and all that. It goes down. And it's pretty interesting if you care to take the time to go through it. But the next thing, he made a table there. And this year, Ark was to go in the holies of holies, see? Now, the shewbread, the tables, the shewbread, the... hey, why don't y'all just read this maybe when you get home or something? See, the next thing, he makes a table for the candlesticks, the shewbread. Now, it's on the outs here. It's not behind the veil, see? Amen. Barbara, could you read that on that where he said, I'll meet you, I'll commune with you back there, out of the Greek Hebrew Bible here. It says, the same thing basically, but the King James, you'll need to come up. I'll come back to let you get it there, or I can read it since we got this mic, and we'll see what it says in the Greek Hebrew Bible here. Amen. You want to read it for verse 22.
And there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel.
Amen. Notice, I will meet you there. I will meet you in there. I'll meet you in there, see? Amen. I will talk with you. Now, here King James says commune with you. But I want to back up here and give a little vision that Brother Brown told when he preached the seventh seal. The Lord wouldn't let him tell so much, and he would begin to talk about this, and he said, I just feel shaken not to say anymore. I feel checked not to say more about it. But it says the light that you see in the picture said it was speaking to someone above me. And said, well, I was like in a tent, you know, but that was a little area, a little box or a little box like there in the tent. And said, that light that was talking to somebody above me was talking to somebody and says, I'll meet you in there, see? Yeah. I'll meet you in there. Yeah. And the light whirled and went into the little box, see? Yeah. And he said, I'll meet you in there. Amen. Now see, that's what the Greek Hebrew, it says exactly the same thing Brother Brown said. Amen. Here in the King James said, I'll commune with you in there.
Yeah.
Amen. But in the Greek Hebrew there, the Bible there, it says, I'll meet you in there. Yeah. Amen. The very same words that it told whoever he was speaking to above Brother Brown, I'll meet you in there. Amen. Now notice out here the candlesticks are out here. See, but in there is the Ark of the Covenant, and only the priest can go back there.
Yeah.
And that has to be high priest.
Amen.
Oh, I want to get some here on these Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Now notice all that. That's where the law's at. That's where the blood's at. And Paul began to explain in the book of Hebrews how Christ went, took his own blood, went back. Amen. He said, he's that true tabernacle.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Having entered in once into the holy places, he said he obtained eternal redemption for us all.
Yeah.
Amen. Didn't have to go back every year. This type back over here, amen, become the anti-type, which means it's the fulfillment of it.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. Now, having said that, I want to say a little about the Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when Christ came back, first of all, he had to die. He went from Son of Man. He was the Son of Man here on earth before he was crucified. How many knows it? He was the Son of Man. And then there was a little silence period. That's when he went down into the heart of the earth, see?
Yeah.
How many knows it? He went down in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Peter says, in 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, I believe it says he went down and he preached to spirits that were in presence. He brought forth the old saints. He closed out the Old Testament. Glory to God. Everybody say he closed out the Old Testament. He closed out the Old Testament. There was a time of silence. They didn't know. Even the disciples, they said, we go, Peter says, but I go fishing. The other said, I go with you. And then after 3 days there or so, he was on his way down to a certain area where was on his way to Emmaus or somewhere. He was, when he was talking to his disciples, Luke 22, I believe, reads about. What was the name of that place where two disciples were on the way?
Emmaus.
Emmaus, yes, Emmaus. Well, he walked all day with them and talked with them. Amen. And they didn't know who he was.
Amen.
He had changed from Son of Man to Son of God. And the only way anyone would ever know who he was as Son of God, that he would have to reveal himself. So there was a silence between the old and the new. Then he came forth on the day of Pentecost. See, hallelujah. Amen. And then on the day of Pentecost, it says there, we've read it and you'll get it on the other tapes. I'm sorry. I wish we could take it one day and go all the way through all these messages. We'd have about 8 or 10 hour a day. But remember, on the Feast of the Tabernacles, they came to feast for 7 days. They dwelt in booths. This is Leviticus 23rd chapter. And they had a first day, they had a holy convocation. And then they stayed there for 7 days. And then on the 8th day, amen, they had another holy convocation. Say, amen. The 7 days represent the 7 church days. Now on Pentecost, day of Pentecost, they had a holy convocation. The Sabbath there to begin the church. It was to the Jews. Amen. Switched over and become to the Gentiles. Glory to God. And we find there that as the word went forth about a few years after Pentecost, the Jews began to reject him. How many knows they went wanted to go back? They wanted to go back under the law now. See, now, this tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, I'll meet you in there, see. It was closed off from the normal people. Only the high priest could go back. But when Jesus died on the cross, God sent His fire. God sent His lightning. God sent an earthquake. Amen. And the veil in the temple was rent all the way from the top to the bottom. Amen. Making way that His chosen could come into the holies of holies. Amen. And not just the high priest. But they quickly put up another curtain. Amen. As soon as the earthquake got through and all that, they re-erected and put up another curtain and continued the same old way.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what denominations do. God sent a message that'll rip the veil in two. Quickly they'll re-erect another veil because they like their old way.
Amen.
Amen. Remember the Jews. When Jesus came and died and the veil in the temple was rent, do you think they closed down the synagogues? They didn't close a single one of them. Do you think the high priest got up there at Jerusalem and said, look, God's doing a new thing. This is the Son of God. He's died. He has rent the veil. It's a new day. No, they put the veil back up and threatened to kill everyone that would acknowledge Jesus Christ. Remember Peter and them? They went out and they were beat, amen, and threatened for preaching in this name. They wanted their old ways. And that's the way people are today. They still want the church ages.
Amen.
Still want the manna, see? Amen, that's right. It's so plain that a fool can't err therein. It says, bright as the noonday sun shining forth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're at the end time. We've arrived. Amen. We've come to that holy convocation, the Feast of the Tabernacles again. When He rent the veil again, sent a message to rent the veil. I'll tell you one of the things that caused some thundering and lightning was when the Lord rent the veil. Amen. When He sent that message, an Old Testament prophet come to a New Testament age. It rent the veil. Let them see that there's still a fivefold ministry. There's still apostles. There's still prophets. There's still the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. But let's get this in the early church first here. Show you what He did. Now, Paul explained all these things that we've read today. And as he explained them, he showed how it fits and why this. But I want to turn you to read verse 26 with me here. Hebrews 7, verse 26. Now watch what it says. Now remember, the high priest was the only one could go back. The rest had to stay out here with the candle. It says, for such a high priest becometh us. Amen. Let's all read that together now. It says, and such an high priest becometh us. Amen. Do you see now? In other words, you've got a right to go back, what Paul's saying.
Yeah.
Woo, I'm about to talk in tongues here. Woo, wee, hoo, wee, hoo, wee. Amen. You've got a right to go back. You don't have to stay out here where the candlestick's at. The veil's been rent. You can go back. For such a high priest becomes us because we're a part of Him. Amen. For such a high priest becomes us who is holy, undefiled, separated from sinners and made higher than the heaven. That's us. Amen. Separated from sinners made higher than the heaven. Amen. He picks us up. There's a door open. Glory to God. Amen. There's one other scripture in Hebrews I want you to look at that goes with this here as he continues on through. And if we had time, we could just read the whole thing all the way out through here. But seeing that we don't have that time, that luxury of taking all the time, let's go to, he's still continuing on the same thought, Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to get 19, 20, and 21 here. Amen. Keeping in mind that such a high priest, because you're the high priest. What did he say in Revelation chapter 5? Sister Martha, you remember? He has made us kings and priests. Amen. Do you believe that? He's made us kings and priests, Sister Emma. Amen. Glory to God, Brother David. Amen. You might not have known it, but you're a king. Not only are you a king, you're a priest. Hallelujah, because you can go back to the holies of holies. Amen. The veil's been rent. Hallelujah. To you, there's no veil there, see, because here's why. Amen. You got a clear, open door to go back, see. Amen. You've got a way made, but to denomination, there's a veil. Amen. There's a veil. Just think with me again, this repetition, but I feel to say, when God sent His fire and lightning and rent the veil, Matthew 27. He rent the veil in other places. He rent the veil in two as soon as the storm was over, they thought. The first thing we got to do is get that veil back up before anybody see the bark. Amen. Denomination has put up another veil and they can't see Jesus. They can see a denomination, they can see creeds, they can see dogma, they can see all kind of false religious things. Amen. But the bride, amen, see Jesus. It said having boldness. Some people ain't got boldness because they ain't got confidence in what Christ did for them.
Amen.
Some people would rather stay back in the church age and wallow around in the manna that's bred worms rather than go in and get the pure Word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Amen, brother and sister. I tell you, that's why I believe it's so important to stay to have apostolic leadership in this hour. Because they can direct you like Paul. Now, I want to say this. Peter didn't tell us. Peter didn't tell us about it, did he? Amen. He didn't tell us what the mercy seat meant. He didn't tell us about the veil. Peter, he was the apostle to the Jews, and God was calling out the Jews enough people to rule and reign with him in the millennia. And he said the 12 apostles would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, Matthew's 19th chapter.
Amen.
He took out those saints enough to get what he wanted to, and then he turned, he blinded them. This is Romans 11th chapter. He blinded Israel for yourself. Notice how important this is. When the gospel went to the Jews first, God blinded their eyes. He cut them off. Amen. That He could accept the Gentiles. Matthew's 13th chapter, He said He put upon them, as Isaiah prophesied about, the spirit of slumber. They had eyes, but they couldn't see. They had ears, but they couldn't understand. They couldn't hear. They had a heart, but they couldn't understand. The same thing has befallen the Gentile.
Yeah.
They ain't got confidence to go behind the veil because they don't, first place, they don't even know it. Amen. They're sitting under a ministry that God hadn't ordained. They're sitting under the ministry that want to have a thrashing floor. See who can have the most quotes or the best, put up a best argument. There ain't no argument about this. The argument's over. Paul said, if an angel from heaven say different than what I say, let him be accursed. That settles it. What Paul says in the book of Hebrews here, that's it as far as I'm concerned. Amen. There's no argument here. And if there's an argument, that means you're still out here in the church ages. You're still under the natural light of the candlestick. When you go back here and get in the light of the Shekinah glory, that's a spirit of revelation. And Paul said in the book of, in the first chapter of Ephesians, that God has given you the spirit of revelation, of understanding. He's enlightened your eye, and that only comes beyond the veil.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Amen. Woo, I didn't know I was going to say that. Amen. Now watch how it happened. Now the early church, it got cut off. The Jews, they never did. I'm talking about the religious Jews. They never did accept this. They wouldn't accept Paul. They wouldn't accept the veil being torn down. They put it back up. And some of you don't want the veil torn down. Some of you want to put it back in your mind, but Paul said they're veiled in their mind. Some people still got a veil in their mind. They don't want it tore down because it will tear away your religious ideas and opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. You got to come God's way. Apostolic leadership. Fivefold ministry. The church all believing and speaking the same thing with the mind of Christ.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
When the priest went back behind the veil, he had the mind of God. Because that's where God was talking. Yeah. I'll meet you in yonder. See, I'll meet you back there and I'll commune with you. Oh, praise God. Amen. Do you see it now? I'll meet you back there. Amen. That's where Paul said that you, God give you boldness. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit's bringing me back to something here. Amen. So I'm going to go back with it. Amen. At the risk of being repetitious. Amen. Paul said to say the same thing is to me is not grievous, but for you it's needful. Not grievous, but to you it's needful. Amen. He said having boldness to enter into the holies of holies. Now that's where, that's your part. And you can't have boldness unless you got a revelation. If you see that badger skin there and that priest in the seven candlesticks and the priest here with the shewbread and all doing the thing, you ain't got boldness in her back there. You've got to see right through all that. All that has to be history. Amen. You've got to go back to where He'll meet with you. Amen. He'll meet with you in only one place, and that's in Christ, where He chose to put His name.
Amen.
Amen. So having boldness, have you got boldness? Do you feel like you're a priest this morning? And Paul's getting priest here in the sense of going back, see? That's how he's getting. He's not getting, talking a priest as someone with a big robe. He says, such a high priest becometh us. That him having reference to going back beyond the veil. And he said, having boldness to go back by a new and living way. This way ain't dead. Woo! This way, I tell you, you got to have some of that new wine. Go back here to the old wine. You can't do it. You put this new wine in them old bottles, it'll bust them all to pieces. Amen. When that Feast of Tabernacles was in, it was a feast. And they brought in the corn and wine. You can't have a feast without having some wine. Amen. I'm talking about Holy Ghost wine. Amen. How many knows it? The Jews, they still drank the kosher wine. Amen. They like that natural wine. I was over in Charlotte, North Carolina. Went to a place watching film on the Jews and so on. Went back there and they had the kosher wine. Well, brother and sister, I got something better than kosher wine.
Yeah.
Amen. To be able to show fellowship with them and all, they poured me a little cup of wine there. Yes, I had that. But when they come back for the second time, I said, no. Amen. Hallelujah. Because my wine ain't kosher wine. Amen. That's that new Holy Ghost wine. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's that Holy Ghost wine. Glory to God. So they gathered. It was after the flesh threshing floor was over. They gathered in the corn and the wine. If you were a natural Jew and you drunk anything with your meals, it was probably wine or milk or water. Only drank the head. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that still is. Somebody says, oh, you mean you drink? There ain't no place in the Bible condemned drinking wine. It condemns excess. Be not drunk wine wherein excess. Be not excess with riding, so on. Yes, if you get a whole big jug of wine drinking, hey, you're wrong. You're out of line with God. You're out of line with the Word. But if you have a glass of wine with your meal, amen, over there somewhere in the Europe, where they eat some of the richest food, they said they drank at least two glasses of wine a day. And red wine, they said, is better on it because they don't have no heart trouble, no high cholesterol. And they said the only thing they do, they have a couple glasses of wine a day. And the wine cellar in the house is the main room. Amen. So I said, well, you stinking thing, you drank coffee. And it's probably a four times worse. Amen. Don't you look at me with your sanctimonious ways. Amen. Come on now. Amen. No, I don't drink. Yeah, I mean, if I went to David's house and he had said, let's get a piece of something. Here, I've got a little bottle of wine. Would you like a glass? I'd say, sure. Amen. But when you come back for the second bottle, the second cup, yeah, second bottle. Yeah, second, yeah. I said, no, I better back off on this. I got to drive that car out there or something like that. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you ain't going there with your stinking attitude. If your attitude stink like that, you ain't going back in the Holy of Holies, because this is a new and living way, and Jesus said there's new wine for a new way.
Thank you, Lord.
The only thing, the old wine is for the old way, because they ain't got no kick to it anyway. Amen. They ain't got enough power to blow a lid off a snuff box. Amen. Come on. Glory to God. I tell you, here's some power. Power in the blood. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. This is a new living way. Can you go back? He told Brother Brown, I'll meet you back there. And that light whirled. He said it was talking to somebody above him. And it whirled and went back in the little part of the tent that was boxed off. Yeah, that's where the mercy seat's at. That's where the Shekinah glory's at. That's where everybody that goes back get healed. Amen. Any hurt feeling? We got people today, and they'll talk about, well, I do this because I was mistreated when I was a kid. Because my father whipped me. And because they'll do every excuse they'll make it for something happened in the past. Well, I've had welts on my legs so big. Amen. And when I went to school, I went all the way through the fourth grade. Praise God, I'm well educated. Yeah, amen. But I'd be sitting there, I tell you, one time I was cutting up a little bit in the seat there, and my teacher had a big old paddle, not a little bitty. She came back and whammed me on the rear, and I'll tell you, that was a wallop. It caught between the seat and it pinched like, and that was a wallop at least big as my finger across there. And it liked to kill me. I tell you, I stopped talking in school. Amen. Because she knew. Amen. But nowadays, amen, you call time out. Well, if that teacher told time out to me, I'd laughed at her. But I understood one thing. I understood that paddle. And my daddy, when he whipped me, he always left wallops. Amen. But that don't mean I should go out here and steal and rob and kill and say I had a bad childhood. Amen. We lived in houses where we didn't have any electricity. And sometimes dirt floor. Amen. No running water. Glory to God. I was married. Married before I ever seen what a commode was. Didn't know how to use it. Amen. Amen. That's right. Glory to God. Got married and we bought a mobile home. And my brother came. He's already been knowed a little more than I do. I said, come here, I want to show you something. Come here. It had a gas stove in it too. I said, you don't have to go draw water. You don't have to tote it from the spring. All you got to do is turn this little thing here, and you can get some water. And I said, guess what? You don't have to go get wood to build a fire to heat it with. All you got to do is get it out here and take it over here on the stove and turn this little thing, and that fire will come up and heat the water. He said, you don't even have to do that. Just turn this oven over here and hot water will come out of it. Amen. Buddy, I went modern in a hurry.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I tell you, God's real and God's good, isn't He?
Yeah.
He's moving. He's thundering today.
Yeah.
Amen. Thundering out that word.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Now, after we left Pentecost, the Jews rejected it. They put the veil back up and forbid anybody to go back. They did. You read the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. They said the Gentiles don't have to be circumcised, but us Jews, we're going to continue on. He gave them some rules after much. They put that veil back up. When Jesus came, He came to fulfill the law, didn't He? He said the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And now that Christ come, we don't need the schoolmaster. We need Christ. But they want to keep the schoolmaster. Amen. Praise God. Now, where did they get to? Yeah, here. I wanted to do that, having boldness to enter in. By a new and living way, which is concentrated for us. through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Now, Paul, are you crazy or are you telling us the truth? Is his flesh the veil? Or is it that veil in the temple? I'm going to believe what Paul said. He concentrated that way for us through the veil, that is through his flesh, when he died on the cross. And he said, it's finished. The Bible says he went into the holy place and his blood was accepted of God, and he obtained eternal redemption for us all.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. But again, being repetitious here, because I'm not going to go over this again, the Jews put the veil back up immediately. And they kept doing their same thing, the high priest. You'll read that with Jesus. If you'll read any in history, that Joseph, they bought the office of the high priest. And they had politics. And they would, sometimes the priests would kill each other to get the office of the high priest because it was an important office. God didn't meet with them. The devil met with them, not God. Amen. Because God's done moved somewhere else. He's done moved out of that box of a Ark of the Covenant into the real Ark of the Covenant, which was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
amen. How many knows it?
You,
praise God. Therefore, it shows how important the blood is. That veil couldn't be rent until the blood was shed. Remember in the Old Testament when the Philistines opened it? Or some of the captors of that? Before they could get the lid back down, 23,000 died. It just shows you can't stand before God without the blood seal. Without blood, amen, that blood make you... He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet it'll be white as snow. Amen. All right. I don't know if I've been going 15 minutes or not. But let's get, I believe we'll start on this. We're not going to get through too much of it. But the church went, Paul died, the apostles were, some of them was killed, and the Bible's silent as to what happened to some of the apostles. Fact is, you don't hear much about many of the apostles. Some of them, their names never mentioned anymore after the day of Pentecost. It's said by history, you know, they went different places. Thomas went into India and did one. And it's probably reliable history. But I don't depend on reliable history. I depend on the Word, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. So basically, as it went forth, Peter, James, and John, you know, like that, like the one took, and then here come Paul on the scene, the old rascal that uprooted all their traditions. Amen. Paul, you'll forgive me, I know, for calling you a rascal. Because I'm just saying, in the sense of what you did, you uprooted that religious thing. Amen. They said you're these men that turned the world upside down. Amen. Is that right? When he came. Praise God. So, Paul died, and it said that Nero chopped his head off. Now, this is not Bible. It's tradition. History's tradition, and it's probably so. They said, Peter, when they're going to crucify him, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Turn me upside down. Again, that's tradition, history. Amen. But anyway, Paul, just laying that aside and say, Paul and Peter and all the apostles, but John, as far as we know, has gone off the scene in 96 A.D. And John was about 100 years old. Possibly he could have been a little older, a little younger, because it had to be 30 to be in the line of the priest, and he was one of the apostles, see. So this was 96 A.D., which would mean he was at least 96 year old and could have been older, see. So he was around 100 year old, we'll say. Just throw that number out there. And all the rest of them gone. He was up on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God. God said, now the curtain had been totally re-erected and Pentecostal season was over. That first Sabbath was over. See, the first Sabbath, when they came to hold that there tabernacle feast on the first day, they had a holy communication. Then they went for 7 days. Then on the eighth day, whoo, that's what I want. Can't wait till we get to. On the eighth day, they had another, and that's Revelation chapter 10. He come back again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right, let's get Revelation chapter 1. I want to break some new ground to you here. I'm just start reading verse 1 here. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Did I say 1? I'm getting so excited here. Amen. Notice that. Now we enter into a new era, and there will be new things said. We're out of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Pentecost. The first day it's over with. It goes into something else. Remember out here the table was with 7 candlesticks and the shewbread, but the veil was back here. And out here they had natural light. Back there they had the Shekinah glory. Amen. That's why we got all the mistake, the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all those things that accumulated through the church age. 3 works of grace. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There ain't no place in the Bible so it says you got to get saved and then get sanctified and then get filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says Christ is our sanctification. You get Him, you got it all. Amen. How many will say amen? Ooh, watch out, people. Here are those tradition keepers going to shoot me for that one if they can. But listen at the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 1, John, it's 96 A.D. here about that. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now notice the angels begin to move now, begin to carry messages. Amen. No more behind the veil where the holies of holies is. Amen. Here comes an angel telling John something. Now watch what it says. Verse 2. Who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things he saw. Amen. John was to do all this. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the word of prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein for the times at hand. Now here we're back out in the sanctuary again. The church has fallen. Revelation chapter 1, that first church age, thou art fallen. And you can't be back here and fallen too. When you fall back down to the level of mercy. Amen. Living off the mercy of God rather than having great grace upon you. See? Now, verse 4 says, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. It says, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Now, here a new revelation introduced to the church. Remember, in the Old Testament, they had 7 candlesticks. The light came off them. Now, here's a new revelation. Paul didn't know. Peter didn't know. None of the others know that's introduced right here in 96 A.D. to a fallen church. There's 7 spirits before the throne, which are 7 angels. And it goes on into the candlelights, but we may get that far. Notice there's greetings to the church. Amen. Here, when I come down here, I greet you. I'll greet you in the name of Jesus. All right, here's the angels. They came and greeted the church. They're sent from the throne down here, and they greet the church. Amen. They've never been seen in the early church before, or in the new. It's totally unknown to the New Testament. Amen. These spirits till after the church fell away. Pentecost is over. How many sees it? The first day, the first holy convocation's over. Now you go through the 7 days.
Amen.
And then at the 8th one, which is eternity. Back to the first again. We have another. That's what we're having now. Amen. But watch as we reach you. Greeting from the 7 angels. It says, greeting from him which was, which come, which represent God as eternal spirit. And the 7 angels. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and ever I shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kings of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He says, I am the Alpha. What was the first thing they built in that temple now? It was that box. Alpha. Amen. here, beginning and end. He's on the beginning and end. He's on he which did was dead. Knows I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Brother, he sat right there in the throne of the Almighty, and you didn't see two or three of them there.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
When John was picked up, he saw just one. Amen. All right. Now listen at this as we go. John says, verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle, this says isle, isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony which they, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now this isle of Patmos, I've tried to find out all I could about it. It seemed to be an island out here. It was scorpions, lizard, pretty much like what's that island they had there in California? Astatres. Well, that's what this was. Nobody escaped from. So John, being old man, they pitched him out there, let him die out there. He's 96-year-old, 100-year-old anyway. He ain't gonna be around long. He was on the isle that's called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony. And then he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God picked him up and put him all the way to the millennium. And I heard behind me a great voice say, as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now he began to isolate seven churches. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was that spike when being turned. I saw seven golden candlesticks. How many sees it now? Right back out here again.
Yeah.
Amen. You see it, Sister Martha? Not behind the veil. Amen. Out back out here in the tabernacle, the holy place, not the holies of holies, being turned. And then you go right on to chapter 2 there, and he said, thou art fallen. That's the reason they're back out here. Amen. He walked among them as high priest. I believe I'll stop this off right here. Amen. We're going to go on, but amen. I just felt led of God this morning to bring this. And I feel like it was the Holy Ghost leading, see.
Amen.
He made a way into the holies of holies. Amen. He made us high priests, such a high priest. But people didn't want to keep that state. They wanted out here where the shoebread's at. They wanted out here where natural life. They wanted the wisdom of man. They wanted to chomp around on that tree of life, tree of knowledge rather than the tree of life.
So,
amen. There was men, he said, well, among you, and Paul said, as soon as I'm gone, they're going to rise up and draw disciples. If you got somebody wanting followers, they're not back there. Amen. All them back behind the veil, back where they're in the Shekinah glory, I'll meet you back there. They're wanting you to follow Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And they could care less if they were known outside their own hometown.
Yes.
Huh? How many sees it now? Now notice in 96 A.D. the church was back out here. And we'll pick up from there. And then we got 7 days. But Lord have mercy, what will it be at the end of that 7 days? Another holy convocation of bride to get the revelation. He said, I'll meet you back there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Ooh, the age is over, the thunder's over, and all these things are over. Yeah, and then there's a silence in heaven. See, when the church age over, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery will be finished. And that this mystery here of the church age, it'll all be finished and over with and done with when the seventh angel sound his voice. And then you got a gulf between Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 and verse 8. Because that is where the book is transferred from the hand of the mighty angel to John. You see what I'm saying, David? Amen. The mighty angel come down to heaven with the book in his hand. And then to get the thunders all out of the way and everything, and get it all cleared up, and get all that cleared up. And the seventh angel sound, he finishes all, it says. All the mystery He finished the mystery that God spoke about. Now, on down here, it tells what the mystery is. He said, I'll tell you the mystery of the candlesticks. Now, he finished them up. But then there's a gulf fixed. And that's like John says, come up higher. Revelation 4 and 1. That's going to the holies of holies. And then you got to go into the holies of holies in order to receive from Revelation 10:7 to 10:8, because in there it's revelational preaching, it's prophecy.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just talking about the word, it's good, juicy word that's fresh off the altar. It's that new and living one. And only those can hear it that's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's ordained to be the bride. Everybody else be out here fussing and thrashing it out. And my wife and I got that letter from somebody said, Brother Ben, don't do away with the thrashing floor yet. We got some more. Let's thrash a little more. Well, honey, I ain't wanting thrash no more. Amen. Are you? Amen. I want to go back to where the Shekinah glory is at. There's no thrashing floor back there. Now, you saw what happened at Pentecost. You see, then it went into back to the candlestick age. But when the candlestick age is over, that's when we're back here. I'll meet you back there. How many seasons? That's where we're at. The seventh church age is over. The last messenger has come and gone. We're at the end time, folks. Can you say amen? I tell you, I'm just as happy as I can be in the Lord. Amen. I've been drinking that wine. That Holy Ghost wine. Woo-wee. They were staggering like drunk men on the day of Pentecost. Amen. I've saw people get drunk. I've never been drunk myself. Don't intend to ever be, other than drunk on the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've never drunk very much alcoholic beverage in my life. But I'll tell you one thing. Amen. This year, good Holy Ghost beverage tastes good. What did he say? He said it was a feast. See, once the summer was over, once the fruit was gathered in, it was a feast. And you don't come to a feast with a long face. Amen. If you come to my feast with a long face, I'm going to call you aside and ask you what's bothering you. We come here for a jubilee.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
We come here to rejoice in the Lord. We come here for fellowship and to be happy and rejoice.
Yeah.
Get rid of that long face.
Right.
A lot of people's a long face. Amen. I got a long face like a mule. Amen. You swear the mother weaned them on dill pickles the way they look. Amen. But I tell you, not the bride. She's going to rejoice in the Lord. And that's one of the commandments. I like what Brother Matheny said here. He says, it's commanded that we love one another. But there was a command. Paul commanded us to rejoice evermore.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Somebody ain't got nothing to rejoice about if you're redeemed, you have.
Yeah, thank
you. Don't care if you got a broke leg. If you're redeemed, you got something to rejoice about.
You,
I don't care if your neighbor just cuss you out. Amen. If you're redeemed, you got something to rejoice about.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to be happy. Amen. You do what you want to. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, this morning for this gathering together. We just praise you for the breaking forth of your word, Lord, and we just thank you for this Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering, Lord, bringing us back to what it was, not just like it was on the day of Pentecost. That was the first leg of your coming, as the Holy Ghost. Then you came as high priest. Lord, you come as the mighty angel, the bridegroom, to give us the little book. Amen. And we're eating just fine. It's been bitter on our stomach, Lord, but now we begin to get so, we're learning to digest it, and it tastes real good, and we wouldn't have nothing but that. We just thank you, Lord, for your love, goodness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, bless everyone come this way. May this word find a lodging place in every heart, and we'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.